And good Wednesday, my friends. Welcome into the Chase and Big Joe show on this day where, according to all the meteorologists, it's going to be really bad the next 4 days. But you know what? We can't control that, so we'll just live our lives as we usually do. Chase McCabe, running a little bit late. He had to give a speech this morning. He's been certified on LinkedIn about cloud storage, so he does some teachings and things. And so this morning he'll be here in just a little bit. He gave a nice little speech. Little testimonial about how cloud storage has kind of changed his life a little bit, and he was certified on LinkedIn, so it's all good. Ian Safar is with us. Ian, are you certified on cloud storage?
Not yet. No, I'll have to work on that certification. Where do you go for something for a class for that?
LinkedIn. So okay. When you go there, make sure you post on LinkedIn so everybody could say, "Well done, Ian."
Okay, there you go. All right, I'll be sure to make a note of that.
We'll have John McClain at 9:30. Philip Forsberg will join us at the 10 o'clock hour. But first, I want to start with this. You know, I'm a huge pop culture guy. I mean, it's 50-50, pop culture and sports. So this morning I wake up and I see the news that Val Kilmer had passed away. I've never met Val Kilmer. I don't know Val Kilmer, but I'm upset by this. I'm when somebody passes away. But, I mean, this was a guy in the Tombstone's on every single night. If you're flipping around the channels, it's on every single night. And you stop every time and you watch it. And I had a discussion with a friend a long time ago about this movie, and if you remove Val Kilmer's character from Tombstone, it's still a good movie. Val Kilmer, in that role as Doc Holliday, makes that an extraordinary movie. That role makes it, just how he portrayed it, what he did, everything made it a movie that every time you see it, you wait for his role, wait for his lines that go on. Val Kilmer passed away at 65 years old. Of course, one of my all-time favorite movies, Real Genius, that he was in. You know, he did Top Secret, which was a very funny movie based off the guys who did Airplane created that. So it's a Top Secret, Real Genius, and, of course, Top Gun. He was in the Top Gun, the Maverick that came out a couple of years ago. So anyway, it's just you watch these guys so much, they become like a part of your youth. And so the fact that Val Kilmer passed away is something else. And I'm telling you, man, Tombstone, it'll be on again tonight, and it's on all the time. But he also, in the movie Heat with Pacino and De Niro, was so good. You know, he was Ashley Judd's husband in that movie, and it was just the roles he did was something else. I know he's battling throat cancer for years, and then he passed away this morning. So we'll play some clips from some Tombstone throughout the day to get things fired up and just to kind of remember what a great actor that Val Kilmer was as well. Did you catch the animation last night of the Nashville Predators? They lost 8-4.
Saw a little bit of it. Yeah. Too bad the game didn't turn out a little bit better.
Could it have been any worse for the Predators?
I don't know. Probably not. 8-4, yeah.
8-4, right?
Yeah.
And the Columbus trolls the Predators on X or Twitter, whatever, last night. I think it was a really bad night. Bad night for the Nashville Predators, because you got the whole animation thing was going on. A lot of eyeballs on there, and it was just bad. 8-4. Preds on the road against Dallas Thursday and back home this weekend. But
season's coming to a close here.
Thank God.
Coming down the stretch. It's been a little bit rough lately. So
right?
I mean,
how do you get motivated for this?
It's got to be tough.
It has to be tough. Yeah. And don't text and say, well, they're getting paid millions, they should do all that. I don't know. I'm not in that situation. But I do know when you're out of it and there's nothing to play for, it is tough.
Yeah, it's got to be tough, especially for some of those guys, considering where they are in their career.
Yeah.
And what they were expecting going into the season. And they're not used to playing out, you know, seasons like this. Stamkos and Marchessault.
Oh, yeah.
And Shea. Those guys are used to coming down, playing very competitive games.
Yep.
Especially down the stretch, right? Heading into the playoffs. They're trying to gear up, not gear down. So a little bit of a flip-flop for them.
Look at you, Ian. I like this. Well done. Did you ever get compliments in the afternoon when you did that?
Sure.
Backhanded compliments for years with Stillman. Anyway, I think they're down to seven games. Seven games.
Yeah.
I expected a parade. I wanted a parade in June. After you tell me July 1st last year, you got Stamkos and Shea and everybody else.
They have the third worst points in the league. So that means they have the you know, they're up there as possible first top lottery pick, top three,
right,
based on the odds. So hopefully nothing crazy happens and
right
they end up dropping all the way to like pick number eight,
which
could happen.
Yeah,
you know, but.
But yeah, hockey's so much different than NFL because sometimes these guys you don't see for years to get to the big leagues, whereas NFL, if you get a first-rounder, he better contribute. He better start.
Oh, yeah.
Immediately. If your first-round pick is not starting, there's a problem that goes with that.
Definitely.
Which leads us into 22 days away from the NFL draft. I mean, I tell you, every time I hear the name Cam Ward, I need to have a shock buzzer on me. It's just rah. Because, I mean, you're hearing it so much and everything and what they're going to do and what's going to happen. Nobody knows. I still don't think they take Cam Ward with the first pick. I think they trade back and gobble up. That's just me. That's what I would do. Nobody's asking me.
You just wonder how much of a normal first overall pick haul, you know, if it's not going to be your normal, you know, bunch of first round pick to drop down.
Right.
How little are they willing to take to move out?
You're right. And that's the thing. I don't think it's going to be the Giants. I think there's a surprise team that's going to make an offer for...
To go all the way up to one?
All the way up to one. And not necessarily take a quarterback. Just to get that pick and maybe take Abdul Carter.
That would be wild.
Or
yeah.
Travis Hunter. Or Travis Hunter.
I kind of like Travis Hunter.
Why is he not being talked about more?
Because people don't value corner as a premium position.
I mean, that guy's an athlete. I agree with Joe Rexford on that. Just call, if the Titans walked up and said Travis Hunter, I'd be all right. Let's go.
I would not hate it.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. I think a team is going to make some offer to the Titans in those last 48 hours, and they're going to say, "Oh my goodness, let's do that." I do not think it's that cut and dry that they're going to take Cam Ward and go for it. They know they have so many holes to fill. And you gobble up draft choices for now. Don't build for 26 or 27. Nobody cares. You're building for right now. So go forward and do that and get it done. We'll have a lot of talk with this with John McClain when he joins the show at 9:30 today about what's happening and what's going on. The owners' meetings just wrapped up down in Florida. And while the new rules that are going on, the rules that were tabled, I mean, some of the ideas that were put aside down the road with the whole tush push thing, which to me is just a whole lot of nothing. Either you'd say, look, you're going to outlaw it or you're not going to let it happen. And then off of that, you got to say, what do you do when you, a runner's stumbling and you help him down the field? That's the same thing to me as a tush push. You're helping the runner advance the ball. So is that illegal now? I don't know.
Yeah, the one thing I've been thinking about with the tush push, as far as most people try to, if they're against it, they claim it's some type of injury concern, you know, because of the
right.
whole massive bodies there.
Yeah.
And I get that. And I'm just wondering if everyone's convinced that a bad injury is going to occur from the play, which we don't really know for sure will happen. We just assume is going to happen. So I'm a little bit confused on that. It hasn't really been proven that's going to happen. They're just assuming it is. But if it is a safe assumption that a major injury is going to occur,
right?
Why wait for the injury to happen and then ban the play?
Sure. All right. So why don't we ban receivers coming across the middle?
Well,
because I'm a
degree,
safety,
and they have to almost.
And Ian Safar is coming across the middle. I'm taking you out.
Yeah.
And there's an injury there. I mean, hell, you had a guy paralyzed in the National Football League because of that.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that not being taken? It's football. It is a violent sport, and we talk about this all the time. Everybody knows that, and that's what it is.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, even Brett Kern, former Titans punter, said yesterday, was it yesterday?
Monday,
that he, even as a punter, is under the assumption that, hey, if you play, you're going to get hurt.
Right.
So, even I mean, there's no position that can be unscathed.
I 100%
so,
agree with you.
I don't know. Part of me is just like, okay, well, if we're convinced they're, because they've done that with the safeties, like you can't really hit wide receivers. I mean, technically you can.
Yeah,
but
right.
You're going to get suspended or you're going to be heavily fined.
You are. And I tell people, football right now has never been as safe as it is right now. With the new padded helmets and teaching kids how to tackle differently without their heads,
mm-hmm.
football's become a lot more safe than it has in years past. I mean, you'd get dumped on your head. I mean, you get hit late. I mean, there's all kinds of things going on. They've done a good job of making it safer from the fact of you know, you get really the fines for late hits, you get ejections, you get penalties. And I, what was the guy we had on a guy? He said the quickest way to a professional player's mind is through his pocketbook.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you get their attention and do all that. Well, look who is here. Fresh off is another speaking engagement of talking about LinkedIn cloud storage. Our very own Chase McCabe.
Hello.
Proud of you, man.
Thank you so much. It's
did you have any idea when you got certified on LinkedIn for cloud storage, you would be as popular as you are?
No, I didn't. You know, I never thought I'd ever be popular in my life.
Well, you need to go on LinkedIn and put in that you just now, because of your LinkedIn cloud storage, you're doing much better.
I just, you know, would love to thank the Twice Daily on, you know, on Charlotte Pike and,
yeah,
you know, for having me there to speak. So it was
nice. I love that, man. Yeah, I mean, an impromptu, kind of like a pop-up little meeting that you had going
on. And then I would like to thank the people of Nashville and the people, especially from probably California, for moving here, for making traffic absolutely terrible.
Don't you blame it on them, buddy.
So, and shout out to Metro's Finest that are out today because I guess you're wanting to, you know, beat the weather.
Are you that storm that's going to come in and take us all away? Are you worried about that?
I'm a little concerned about it.
Are you really?
With it. Yeah.
No. Are you concerned about things you can't control?
No, I'm not. I mean, I'm not like, you know, I mean, I know I can't control it, but yeah, I am. I'm like, okay, it might get a little rowdy.
We started the show off about Val Kilmer passing away, of course. Iconic. And my question to you is, and for our audience, they will have, you know, I want your thoughts on this. Is Val Kilmer's role as Doc Holliday in Tombstone the greatest acting historical role of all time? Is there another historical figure acting that was better than that? You're going to laugh. Kurt Russell as Elvis Presley in the late 70s was perfect. So I want to know what other acting role of a historical figure was the greatest of all time.
Who was it that played I should know the answer to this, and I'm just blanking. Lincoln and Lincoln.
Oh, he had three names. Daniel Day-Lewis.
No, was that? Was he Lincoln? He was Lincoln?
The one with Spielberg's Lincoln?
Was it.
Yeah. Okay, he was really good.
He was good in that.
Yeah.
Did you like Barry Pepper as Dale Earnhardt Sr.?
He did a good job, yeah. I wouldn't say that's the best of all time, but he did a good job, yeah.
I thought he did a really good job.
Yeah. Yeah. The guy that played Waltrip was really good.
Right? He was good in that. It's very good.
So,
but that's the thing, is that you think about these historical roles and, you know.
Here's the thing about Val Kilmer. Extremely underrated Batman.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. He was Batman, Bruce Wayne in Batman Forever. And I like, it's different because it's not dark and it's like a little more mainstream. Unlike the other two with Michael Keaton.
Right.
I liked it, and I thought he was an underrated Batman.
Who was the bad guy in that one?
That was Two-Face.
Jim Carrey?
Yeah, it was. It was Two-Face and
Jim Carrey. Yep.
Yeah, Jim Carrey and Tommy
Lee Riddler.
Jones.
The Riddler and Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Jim Carrey is the Riddler and Tommy Lee Jones is Two-Face.
When did that come out? 92?
Five.
95, yeah. The soundtrack for that movie was awesome, too. So.
Was that the Seal song?
Kiss from a Rose. Yeah.
So was
Poison Ivy, was that one in there?
No, Jim? that was Batman and Robin. That was the next one.
Was that Clooney?
Clooney, yeah.
And that was Mr. Freeze Schwarzenegger in that?
Okay. Yep. All right. Alicia Silverstone was Batgirl. Wow. Chris O'Donnell was Robin. We might need Kiss from a Rose on a Grave today, Ian. Because that soundtrack is awesome.
It is.
All right. We are up and running on this Wednesday. I heard you tease John McClain at 9:30, Philip Forsberg at 10:15.
Yeah.
So looking forward to those conversations and much more.
Much more. Will you ever do a podcast on your LinkedIn storage certification?
Yes.
Because I think it's important.
Yes, I will.
Because cloud storage, I mean, it's like above our head, right? Where things go.
And where all the storms are right now. So 615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We will get to your calls and texts. Adam in Portland, you'll be up next here on Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Don't any of you have the guts to play for blood?
I'm your huckleberry. That's just my game.
Sorry to be in bed. What the hell are you doing this for anyway?
Wide up is my friend.
Hell, I got lots of friends.
I don't. Oh, Johnny, I apologize. I forgot you were there. You may go now. Why, Johnny Ringo. You look like somebody just walked over your grave.
Val Kilmer from Tombstone. Very, very good. Also, as somebody on our text line pointed out here, Chasing Big Joe, he also played Jim Morrison in The Doors. That was an early role for him, I think.
Yeah, he did Jim Morrison so well that the remaining members of The Doors, when they heard the sound of a recording, they thought it was Jim Morrison. It was actually Val Kilmer.
Wow.
So well done with that.
That is pretty, pretty cool. Real quick, let's get to this tweet. Teron Davenport put this out about 38 minutes ago, and I want to see your thoughts on it.
Sure.
The Titans will have defensive coordinator Denard Wilson, GM Mike Borgonzi, wide receiver coach Tyke Tolbert, among others, at Colorado's Pro Day on Friday, but not Chad Brinker and not Brian Callahan. They've already done extensive work on Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter. They'll see Sanders at a private workout on April 9th.
Interesting.
I mean, that kind of tells me everything I need to know. They know what they're doing.
Okay.
That's what I think. I mean, I get it. You've done work on him. You've seen film, all that stuff. But, like, why are you going to go to one guy's pro day and take literally everyone to the pro day, and then this one is like, we'll just send a few people.
That is interesting. I'm not looking too much into it. I don't know. Maybe I'm different. Because I'm convinced they're not taking Cam Ward. I don't think they're taking him one.
Because you think they're ultimately going to get a trade package.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think they know that. And I just think they're like all doing the going to the smoke screen and all that. I think if they go up there and say number one pick Cam Ward, I think 75% of Titans fans will be disappointed.
Well, I mean, I think 90% of Titans fans stay disappointed.
True, but I don't know who wants him. There's not an overwhelming we want him.
Well, I don't think there's really that for anybody. That's the problem with
Caleb
this draft.
Williams or was?
Right, but I'm talking about this draft.
Oh, okay. Well,
like there is not in every sense of the, you know, true word of 1-1, that guy is not in this draft.
Then don't take him. Then just don't take.
But you have to make a pick. I mean, I'm not saying the Titans do, but somebody has to go first overall.
Yeah.
So.
All right. So trade out of it. I was telling Ian earlier, we talked, you know, you and I went like, who would be the team to trade up? What if a team trades up to want Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter and not Cam Ward?
Yeah. I mean, look, what if the Titans just shock us all and take one of those guys one overall?
Trade it. Get as much as you can.
I'm not – okay. So
and go forward.
Do you think today on April 2nd, 23 days out from the first round, do the Tennessee Titans know who they're going to select if they keep the pick at 1-1?
Yeah.
You think they know?
I think they know, yeah. I think who they – yeah. But I don't think they want that. I really don't. It's just – I'm telling you, man, there's just something there that they're going to say, yeah, okay, then whoever trades up could take a Travis Hunter – and give up some draft capital they've got built up.
Well, I do know this. They are playing it right in the sense of, oh, we know who we want. We're really going to have to be blown away if you want us to trade off that pick. Like, you got to sell that because that's exactly what you should do, where you want the Giants or whoever to back the truck up and go, all right, we'll give you two firsts in a second and all this. We'll overpay to get that pick, even though I don't really think that's going to happen.
Yeah.
But I think you got to sell it like you really, really, really want Cam Ward.
Fisher said here in our studio when the Rams acquired the number one pick, and he said, yeah, we knew we wanted Goff. He goes, but we had teams calling us at the last second offering us this and that. So you know it's happening for the Titans. And the closer it gets to the draft, it's going to be more and more ramped up. I just think somebody's going to come to them with an offer. They're going to sit back and say, we can't pass on this. We can't. We're going to take this and go with that. I just think, to me, you get Cam Ward, you're not building for the future because you're going to fire Callahan next year when you go 3-14 with the same team and you're starting all over again. But if you can gobble up 5 or 6 extra draft choices with the ones you've got, get about 11, 12 new guys in here, and to say, look, we're building all these pieces around, and then I hate to say it, I mean, you throw out Levis again and let him – I don't know. I know that sounds terrible, but you're still building around everybody and then go from there. Man, that's a death stare you got on me right there.
I'm just listening intently.
It's like, what, did I have something wrong?
No.
Good Lord.
Just listening intently. But, yeah, you're right. Real quick, I know Adam in Portland wanted to weigh in on the tush push. Adam, what's up?
Yeah, also, Chase, not to undersell it, cloud storage is super important. And if Joe's making digs at it, like, your hyper-converged infrastructure journeyman may lead you to, like, $500,000 job selling it one day. You never know. So, like, yeah, it's a very important thing.
Well, but, no, hold on. I'm not making digs. I'm proud of him. I mean, he went out on a limb and got this.
Where are you going to put it, LinkedIn? I'm like, that's killer, man. Like, he's leveling up, baby. That's killer. All right, so the tush-push, I think, look, if I had a quarterback that squatted 1,200 pounds, I would love to run that play all the time. But I think the fix, instead of taking it away, is just declare it. Declare you're going to do it and do it. Then these guys don't have to worry about you rolling out, because you always, no matter what, have to worry about the quarterback rolling out. So you can't truly put everybody up there to stop it. But if you declared it, then it's a real rugby play at that point. It's your guys versus our guys. So I think that would fix it.
Okay. Appreciate the call, Adam. Leave it alone. That's what I say.
For now.
Just leave it alone.
Try to stop it and, you know, and do it.
I mean, I don't want to see anybody get hurt or, you know, career-ending injury from it or whatever, but, I mean, just leave it alone. Like, yeah. There's 16 – apparently there's 16 teams that do it better than 16 others.
Right?
That's what I'm understanding on how people feel about it. But we'll talk to John McClain about that and so much more. He joins us next here on the Chase and Big Joe Show, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase and Big Joe on this Wednesday, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Let's say hello to our man John McClain, who's on the line with us. John, how you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
We're doing fantastic. Always enjoy these conversations. I want your take. It seems to be the biggest conversation at the owners' meetings. It's something they're not even going to vote on right now, and that is the brotherly shove, better known as the tush push. According to reports, 16 teams are against it, so that's half the league. Where do you stand on it?
I think it's a coward's way out, and all that whining and crying and complaining by teams that aren't good enough to stop it is preposterous. As somebody said, if these guys had been in business when Johnny and I just came out and was throwing a ball down the field in the late 50s and early 60s, they would want the forward pass by a lot. So I think it's ridiculous, and I think the way it's going to get done, they're not going to say they're going to abolish the tush push. They're going to say they're going to go back to the old rule that you can't help another player move the ball forward. And that would eliminate the tush push, but I think it's ridiculous. If you can't stop it, learn to stop it. Where does it end? What's the next thing they won't be able to do? But I am totally against it.
Yeah, I'm with you. I just, you know, you don't like something, then stop it. Don't try and abolish it.
Chase, this bull BS about Green Bay saying, well, you could get hurt. It leads to injuries. Show us some evidence. I don't mean remember people being carted off the field after they were smothered at the bottom of a pile. I said, I tell people, show.
No, John's.
Yeah.
We lost you there for a second, John. You're kind of fading in and out.
I'm fading because I'm driving.
Ah, okay.
Sorry about that.
There you are. You're back.
There's no statistical evidence that shows there's more injuries created by the tush push. The NFL doesn't care about injuries. If they did, they wouldn't be adding an 18th game.
Exactly. It's It's selective when it comes to those things. Some other rules that were approved, the overtime rule, basically they're going to adopt what happens in the postseason. It'll still be a 10-minute period, but both teams will get a possession. What do you think about that?
I like it. I think it's unfair that there was a rule that did not allow both teams to get it. Some think it'll result in more ties by the first team, use most of the clock, and kick a field goal or score a touchdown, not leave enough time on the clock. So I wish they'd gone back to 15. I never liked the reduction to 10.
John McClain is with us here on the program.
John, we keep hearing about Cam Ward Titans, on and on and on. I mean, is it pretty much locked in stone now when everybody's on the same page that he's coming here? We can talk about a scenario where maybe a team trades up the number one, John, that doesn't need a quarterback so they can take Travis Hunter. But basically anything can happen between now and the draft, right?
Right, but it's not going to. I've been telling you guys since the end of the season, they're going to take a quarterback, and then when Cam Ward separated himself, they're going to take Cam Ward.
Pretty simple, and pull him in here. Now, with the second pick, do you have to start building around him? Do you need to take a receiver? Would that be appropriate for what this is? Because right now he's basically got one guy to throw to.
I think wide receiver, as you guys know, you don't have to take him in the first round. The Hall of Fame is loaded with receivers not taken in the first round. Here, Nico Collins, third round. Tank Dell, third round. Stephon Diggs was here, fifth round. You don't need to take him in the first, but yes, I would think. And when you get in the second round, there's going to be a lot of receivers who are worthy. And, of course, you got to pick one that you hope can step in and contribute as a rookie, and you certainly don't want another Treylon Burks.
Oh, absolutely not. John, when Bud was down in Houston on draft, did he have to approve every single draft choice? He is the owner. It is his team. I understand that. But did they run every draft pick, at least in the first, through Bud?
Bud didn't have to approve anything like that. They would tell him, this is what we're going to do, and he'd say, okay. The only time that I remember Bud flexing his muscles was on Ben Shum. And the reason was he saw how popular – Vince was in Houston, how everybody wanted the Texans to take Vince. And the Texans were never taking Vince, but Bud has always listened to talk shows. He's always read the papers, and he saw which way the wind was blowing. So he wanted Vince. And he told Floyd Reese and Jeff Fisher, if you don't get him, I'll get coach and GM up there at will. So that's how Vince ended up. And I didn't remember interviewing Bud. And I said, so you're telling me VY is your guy? And he said, yes. So that was good enough for a quote for me.
VY is my
Bud
guy.
And said, VY is my guy.
Oh, yes.
And it caught on.
Well, it was something, you know, I remember all that with 06. It was the Cutler and the Matt Leinart and VY that did that. How much do you think Amy's involved, John? I know that's kind of a hypothetical out there. We don't know for sure, but how much do you think she's involved? I mean, after all, she is her father's daughter.
Now, Amy, they'll tell her what they're doing with the first pick, and I think that's about it. She doesn't get into that. She's given Brinker total control. He's hired a new GM. You know, they all work together, and they're all have signed off on it. You can't force a player down a head coach's throat because the head coaches have control on game day, and if you've given them somebody they don't want, they're not going to play them. And so that's why you got to make sure Brian Callahan is on board, and he is. And, of course, they'll let Amy know what they're going to do with it. But it's not like she's not saying, you know, CW is my guy. And that's not the way it works.
John McClain is with us. How much should we read into that with Colorado's Pro Day coming up Friday? Mike Borgonzi, the GM, the defensive coordinator, the wide receivers coach, they're all going. But the head coach and Chad Brinker are not going because they've, quote, you know, done a lot of prep work on both Travis Hunter and Shedeur Sanders. They're also going to have a private workout with Sanders coming up on, I think it was April 9th. Should we read anything into that, or is that just whatever?
It's just whatever. You know, Gary Kubiak never liked to go to pro days. He was more interested in face-to-face sit-downs so he could talk to a player. He said, I can get every throw made in a season at Senior Bowl practices, pro days, every throw made I can get on tape. It's like private workouts. They tape them. And that's the best thing because the team controls the private workout and not the player. And that, they're doing their due diligence, and that's great that they are because Colorado's got other players, of course. But Brian Callahan does not have to be there because he can have everything put right in front of him anytime. And if they wanted to do a last-minute visit, like Bill Belichick came to Vanderbilt right before the draft when Zach Cunningham was available. And Zach Cunningham had a great workout, and it never came out publicly till after the draft, I think. It may have been Zach that told the story. So you'll see things like that. They don't get out much, although today more and more stuff gets out because the agents, they want to make their clients look good. But you know, Bill Belichick's there working out somebody a few days before the draft. They had really high hopes for that prospect.
Oh, absolutely they did. John, if they take Cam Ward, does it mean an extension for Brian Callahan? Because the last thing you want, John, is to start this again next year with a new coach and a coordinator and everything else. Does Callahan get a little leeway, you think, if they take Cam Ward? Because you'll need time to work with him.
Not after 1 year, Joe. No way they're giving a coach an extension. And extensions don't mean squat. The owners have so much money. If they got to pay off a coach, how many guys have you seen? And I'll give you two examples. Romeo Crennel in Kansas City had a 10-6 season. They extended him for 5 years, fired him with 4 left. John Gruden got a 5-year extension. He and Bruce Allen, GM, fired after 1 year. The Texans at one point were paying like 4 general managers and coaches, and I said, can I get a little of that? I'm doing more for this franchise than all those guys are doing right now. Because they're not doing squat, and you're paying them millions. So owners think, the media thinks a lot about that. Owners don't think anything about it. They do it begrudgingly, but they still have to pay. And money that we consider a lot is not a lot to them.
We'll have more with John McClain coming up next here on the Chasing Big Joe Show, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game on this Wednesday, continuing our discussion with John McClain here on the program. And John, I feel like at least once a year we have to have some sort of Titans uniform discussion with you, but the Titans announcing last week they're going to switch to, quote, Titans blue, which is basically very similar to the Columbia blue, Love Ya blue, that they're going to wear that primarily. They're not going to wear the Oilers throwback. What do you think about this?
Well, first of all, I'm disappointed they're not going to wear the Oilers throwbacks because I love those uniforms. I love seeing the logo. And I look forward to that. Now, I'm probably the Lone Ranger in Houston because it infuriated everybody except former Oiler players who said years ago, if the only place they can see it is the Titans wearing it, they're all for it because it was popular and people talked about it around the league. Now, the thing that always kills me is like the Astros and Rangers, they have a great rivalry. They played for the World Series, and they hate each other. And the Texans and Titans have never been good enough at the same time to play for anything, to go to the playoffs, to go to the Super Bowl. So we got uniform wars. And if that's all we got, it's all we got. And that's Columbia Blue. And I love to tell the story in 87 when they expanded the Astrodome by 7,500 seats. And Bud Adams at the news conference was talking about the new suites, and they were called Columbia Suites. And he called it Colombian Suites. And I asked him, does that include cocaine with the tickets? And he didn't understand, of course, that I was talking about Colombian. But, I mean, he's the one that called it that. And it was so funny. And so I can't wait to see, should be the Nashville Blue versus the H-Town Blue, because that's what they call the Columbia Blue that they put in the Texans uniforms last year. H-Town Blue, and they had a video with Bruce Matthews narrating, talking about, you'd think that the Allen brothers that founded Houston 200 years ago were wearing Columbia Blue when they came up Buffalo Bayou, because the Texans made it sound like Houston's had those colors way before the Oilers in 1960.
John McClain is with us. Do you think that this is the part of the reason they're doing this? Because they've done it before. Like, it's been the primary uniform before. Do you think that part of the reason is Amy wants to do this is because then it keeps Houston from using it as their primary color?
Oh, I think that's probably has something to do with it. Mainly, when you do some money, they want people to buy it, just like the Texans changed their uniforms last year. They wanted people to buy it. The NFL wants them to buy it. And so it's all about the dollar.
Talking to John McClain this morning on the Chase and Big Joe Show. John, in 2014, the Texans drafted Jadeveon Clowney at number one overall. What do you remember about that? And were there other teams flying offers at the Texans, and were the Texans pretty steadfast that Clowney was going to be their guy?
In New York, I remember that day, Peter King at Sports Illustrated came out with his mock draft. He had him taking Khalil Mack, and said a source close to the general manager told him. And that day I had him taking Clowney. And I remember a bunch of writers walking back to the to where the draft was held at Radio City Music Hall from an event where the players had been doing a thing for charity. And several of them stopped me while we were waiting at a light and said, are they taking Clowney or Khalil Mack? And I said, guys, I wrote today they're taking Jadeveon Clowney, and I'm sticking to it. And I never asked Peter King who told him that. But it was a big deal because Clowney, as you guys know, was a generational player. But the problem was he blew out his knee, microfracture, as a rookie, and had to have subsequent surgeries. And he's still in the league, but he's never had double-digit sacks. So was he worth first overall pick? No, but it wasn't because of his ability. It was because of all the serious knee surgeries he had. And eventually he became great. He was always a better run player. But people in Houston were so fired up to get the number one overall prospect that they didn't reach for anybody.
Yeah, I just think again, number one pick, people are coming after you left and right. I was looking this up, John. For the Texans in 2014, all the draft choices, they've only drafted five Pro Bowlers since 2014, which goes to show you, I mean, you just don't know what you got to get them in camp and see how they go from there. We could talk all day about how somebody great is, but until they show up and you see what they can do, it's really a crapshoot, is it not, for the draft?
Absolutely. Not times the player, it's not the player. It's the system. It's the coaching. It's the owner changing coaches. So you draft a guy because he fits what you're doing. Then all of a sudden you're not doing the same thing that you drafted him for. So I would say at least half the time it's the team's fault.
He is John McClain. Real quick, on the throwback uniform stuff, I think the NFL should do a true throwback weekend. Everything, every team, and I know Houston, you know, they'd be a little difficult, but every team wear a throwback uniform. You have the old throwback NFL logo, have the refs wear old stuff. You can do TV production that way. I think it would be really cool if they did a dedicated throwback weekend.
I think that is a great idea. They should do it because some of those throwbacks are better than the current, which are throw up, not throw back. And fans, a lot of times, wish they were wearing those old uniforms. When we're talking about the Rams, we're talking about the Chargers, the Broncos. There's a lot of them, but that is a great idea, Chase.
I'd love to see it. John, appreciate the time as always. We'll talk next week.
Guys, thank you very much as always.
Absolutely. John McClain joining us here on the Chase and Big Joe Show. They'd make so much money on it, too.
Oh, they would.
Selling jerseys.
And John doing a little, probably, is he a little donut run around Houston this morning?
I don't know.
Just left Planet Fitness. Going to go get something to eat, hang out, and have himself a good day around there.
Yeah.
Oh, we didn't bring up cloud storage to John.
We did not, no.
About, is this where the NFL should look to kind of put their stuff in the cloud?
But that would have.
Eye in the sky.
Eye in the sky. Yeah. They should have done that.
I mean, it's not physically a cloud, right? I mean, it's cloud storage.
Not sure.
Some people have texted in and have said the Titans should make their primary uniforms basically the Oilers, but use the sword logo instead of the oil derrick. So be the Titans, but look like the Oilers.
I'm all on board with that.
I'd like it.
Anything that could piss off another fan base, when I have nothing invested in that,
I'm all
for it. They look cool. It's just I don't really have any connection to the Oilers or Houston.
Right. And I mean, that was the
whole. So that's where it's tricky. Like, you know, they look cool and it does make you feel like you're, you know, a 90s kid again watching the NFL. But to me, like, I don't want to buy anything that has, like, I don't care to buy anything that has to do with the Oilers.
Well, not only that, you know, when the Browns moved to Baltimore, they left all the Cleveland stuff behind.
Right.
Right? And became like, this
and
is
Houston
the Ravens.
Houston feels like the Titans should have done the same.
Yeah. Like, he's moved on, but it's the same friend. And Earl Campbell even said years ago, like, no offense, I have nothing in common with Nashville.
Right.
With the Titans. I don't. I was an Oiler, and that's fine. I think we make way too much out of this, which is whatever, but since 97, the team has been here. And so now it'll be the 29th season coming up, I guess, if you could. Susan's right. Yeah. So,
I mean, I would have been fine. Yeah, I know.
They've been here longer in Nashville than they were in Houston. 60
really?
To 96 is 27 seasons. 97 to 25
that
coming
McGavick,
up.
That McGavick math is
right.
Is wrong.
No, you count seasons. 60, 61, 62.
I know.
Right. That's 27
no.
to 96.
That's 30.
60 to 96? Am I wrong on this?
Yeah.
Jesus. It's your fault, Ian, because you're so handsome.
Ian, can you help me out here? That's 30.
That is 30, I believe.
36.
Yes.
All right, I'm done. I'll see you guys next week.
You were ready to fight, too.
I was mad. And that McGavick math did come through. How did I miss that? Oh, my gosh. All right,
I'm
sitting
there going, like, wait a minute, that doesn't sound right.
It doesn't sound right. But we're getting, no one even, forget it.
Well,
yeah. See what they've done to me? Because I'm tired of talking about Cam Ward. I look for other things.
You know what you should do? Go in the kitchen and have some Twice Daily and White Bison coffee. Because they brought us some today.
Okay.
It's very yummy.
Yeah. $5 breakfast combos at Twice Daily. Here's a deal you don't want to miss. Get any breakfast sandwich, crispy tater rounds, and a medium fountain drink or coffee for just $5 any time of the day. You can join the Twice Daily Rewards Program to unlock special discounts, savings, enter into Twice Daily sweepstakes, and so much more. Twice Daily, fresh all day. Hour number two coming up next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.